Husker Doc Talk Podcast, 2014, number 14. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. This podcast presented by our good friends at the Remington Trophy. Don't forget about the Remington Trophy presentation coming up January 17th, 2015 at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. We'll have more information on that event coming up as this podcast goes along. But let me bring in my friend, your friend, the smartest man we know, former Husker great, Dr. Rob Zadiska. What's up, Doc?
That's pretty high billing.
Well, you deserve the high billing.
Somebody smarter than me.
And I have to be honest with you that if people follow you on Twitter, at Doc Talk Sports, they will find that you are almost as entertaining as Faux Pelini on there. Your tweets, especially during the game, are classic.
I don't know about that.
They are. Your true personality comes out, as well as your sense of humor. I like it.
Faux Pelini's pretty damn funny.
Yeah, but you're right up there.
Because we follow him on Twitter, on the Doc Talk Twitter account. And so, I mean, I see his tweets pop up, and I think the guy's just hilarious.
Don't sell yourself short. If I didn't know any better, I thought you'd be doing stand-up at the Funny Bone. You've been that funny.
Let's not go that far.
So the Huskers have reached a bye week, which is always interesting. But with the injury to Amir Abdullah, it probably comes at a good time. Bo Pelini says that he expects Amir Abdullah to be back 100% for the Wisconsin game. Do you believe he will be at 100%?
I think it's going to be hard for him to be at 100%. Now, keep in mind, every single day I work with a whole slew of orthopedic surgeons, and you know, I don't want to question anything that Pelini's being told by the orthopedic surgeons in Lincoln. I mean, these are the guys in Lincoln are the ones who are literally laying hands on Amir's knee and knowing exactly how bad this is. From what they said, though, at least from what you can glean from the media, slight MCL strain or a slight MCL sprain. They said for most people, now we're not talking elite level athletes, but for most people, they said that's about a 4-week injury. Now that doesn't mean he wouldn't be able to play. It just means that, is it still going to be painful? Is it still going to maybe limit some mobility? Is there going to be some instability in that knee for a few weeks here, going beyond the Wisconsin game? Now, at the same time, too, I remember when I was a senior down in Lincoln, I had an MCL sprain against Missouri, actually. You know, I went to the sideline, we pulled a knee brace over my knee, and the next series I went back out and was playing again. So it depends, though. But I'm not making the cuts that a guy like Amir Abdullah is making. I'm just kind of slamming head first into other behemoths. So there's not as much of that lateral side-to-side stress on the joint that he has, and then he puts on his knees 100-fold more than I ever would have, and he does that on a single play. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, if this lingers with him, if this affects him. This is the kind of thing where I would hope it doesn't. But when you talk about this being, you know, you think about it being a bye week, and is he going to be ready for Wisconsin? The thing you got to worry about is that truly to be ready for Wisconsin, he needs to be back practicing in a week. I mean, you need at least about a week of practice under your belt to maintain that timing, to maintain that tempo, and to stay in game shape. I mean, if he just completely takes a full 2 weeks off, does a couple of walkthroughs at the end of next week, and then rolls into that Wisconsin game, you're not going to see the same Amir Abdullah you saw the first 7 games of the season leading up to that Purdue game.
Now, let's be honest, you went back in after the one play because you're a bad mofo, but let's look at
Coach Osborne had a no injury rule. You weren't allowed to get hurt.
So let's say Amir Abdullah does play and will play against Wisconsin, which we expect him. What you put on a knee brace, how much does that affect your speed, and how much does that affect your ability to cut? Did it affect that much?
I don't think the knee brace does. It's probably a little bit uncomfortable. I think you look at most athletes, most football players, there's kind of been this ongoing trend over the years that guys want to streamline and have smaller and less padding. I mean, you want as little on you as you can. So I don't think anybody likes wearing a knee brace. I don't know how much that would affect his mobility. The biggest thing is just going to be, is there any pain and is there any instability in that joint that he's going to be able to feel when he's out there running around trying to make cuts at full speed? And maybe even the bigger issue isn't so much the physical aspect of it. You know, Abdullah strikes me as an incredibly tough kid. You know, from what I've seen, the style of his running style, the style with which he plays indicates this guy is a really tough, hard-nosed ball player. I mean, he is not some going to run out of bounds to avoid the hit kind of thing. I mean, you look at him on a lot of these short yardage plays, he's diving in there head first, and I've always made the comment, the guy falls forward every single time he gets tackled. So I don't think toughness would be an issue with him. If this knee hurts when he's out there running, I don't think that would be the big issue. The thing you worry about is there almost like that subconscious mental block that, is this knee going to give out? Am I going to re-injure it? Those are the things you worry about with an injury like this, is going out there and not necessarily having that mental ability to just fully cut loose and trust that the knee's going to remain stable when you're trying to make those big cuts in the open field, when you're trying to drive forward into a pile. If he doesn't have that, if he doesn't have an ability to get over any kind of that mental block that oftentimes pops up with injuries, that would be the bigger thing than, say, just frank physical pain.
Of course, the Husker Doc Talk podcast is presented by the Remington Trophy. The Remington Trophy presentation coming up January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. And what a lineup Dave Remington has lined up for you. And that's why you need to buy your tickets, you need to be a sponsor, or you need to just get a table together and go to the Remington Trophy presentation. You can buy those tickets, become a sponsor, or even get that table online at remingtontrophy.com. This year's speakers, as they were exclusively announced here on the Husker Doc Talk podcast, Bobby Bowden will be the featured speaker this year. Yes, Bobby Bowden, former head coach at Florida State. He's beloved here in Nebraska. He's an entertainer, and he's going to have a lot of good things to say. The Ford Legends Award winner and recipient will be Courtney Hall, a former center with the San Diego Chargers and a standout at Rice University. You are going to want to hear what he has to say and see the contributions he's made to football and also the business world. And the Cystic Fibrosis speaker this year is going to be none other than Gunnar Esiason. Of course, he really is the face and the name of cystic fibrosis ever since he was diagnosed back when he was a little kid and Boomer Esiason started his foundation. That foundation is what Dave Remington is the president of, and of course, that's where the proceeds from the Remington Trophy presentation go to, the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Again, that's coming up January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. Make sure to get your tickets at remingtontrophy.com. Rob, the second college football playoff poll was released on Tuesday. Nebraska is up to 13th in that poll. That's with one loss. Ole Miss has two losses and is still ahead of Nebraska. But when you look at what Nebraska has left, even if they were to win out, and I'm talking the West Division and the Big Ten Championship game, do you see any possibility with one loss, that one being to Michigan State, that Nebraska could play for in the Final Four or in that national semifinal and then the national championship?
I got to tell you, I think it's a bit of a stretch at this point. That one loss does loom large. And when you look at the state of the Big Ten, which I hate jumping on the hate the Big Ten bandwagon, because actually I really like them. I'm kind of a Big Ten fan. I just don't see it happening. I mean, look who they've got in front of you. Now, I've got the poll sitting right in front of me from this week. And you got Mississippi State and Florida State undefeated. Mississippi State very potentially could pick up anywhere from one to two losses here over the rest of the season. Florida State, you know, they still got to play Florida, but I think it's, boy, I can't figure out Florida. I'm still trying to figure out how they did what they did to Georgia, but I don't think Florida's that good of a team, and I think Florida State beats them. I think Miami has steadily been improving as a team as the season's gone along, and I think Miami's a solid opponent. But again, I think Florida State beats Miami. After that, you just don't see much on Florida State's schedule that's really going to be of interest, at least in regards to them knocking off. So I don't see Florida State losing for the rest of the year. I think a one or two loss Mississippi State still remains ahead of Nebraska. Auburn's got one loss and sits at three. I think even a two loss Auburn remains ahead of Nebraska in the poll. Oregon, I think if Oregon picks up a second loss, I think they'd be out. Alabama's got one loss and, again, could pick up a second. But I think a two-loss Alabama remains in front of Nebraska in the poll. TCU could drop behind. Kansas State could drop behind. Assuming Nebraska wins out, that automatically assumes that Michigan State is behind Nebraska, because that means either Michigan State's lost to Ohio State next week or Michigan State loses to Nebraska in a rematch in the Big Ten title game. Arizona could fall behind us. Notre Dame has one loss, but I don't see Notre Dame picking up another loss this year. They've got some good teams left to play. I think Notre Dame's much better than a number 10 team in the country. I think Notre Dame's a very, very good team this year. And I think they're one gimme call from the officials away from being undefeated right now and potentially being the number one or number two team in the country.
Do you think they're penalized for not being in a conference? And I mean that as a serious question.
From a poll standpoint, I don't think they're penalized. This year, I think it actually works in their favor, because when you look at their schedule, they got a pretty tough schedule.
Yeah.
I think they're sitting at 10 for no reason other than the fact they gave up a bunch of rushing yards and points to Navy. But geez, Navy puts up a bunch of rushing yards and points on everybody. So I don't think Navy's a bad team, and Notre Dame still scored almost at will against them. So you still got a two-loss Mississippi in front of Nebraska. I don't know. I'm still not sold on Nebraska in the Big Ten, and I think it was Nebraska's comeback in that Michigan State game was a little bit fluky. I think you had a Michigan State team that took its foot off the gas pedal. Nebraska had a kick return for a punt return for a score. And those, I don't want to say falsely, made it look like Nebraska played better than they did. But that game, that Nebraska-Michigan State game, was not as close as the final score indicated.
Of course.
My point is, though, I mean, if you look at it, you try and start breaking this down and you try and be a little systematic about it, I'm having trouble seeing Nebraska get into the top five or six teams in the country, especially when you look at who's currently in front of them right now.
Of course, additional support of the Husker Doc Talk podcast brought to you by HuskerMax.com for complete Husker news, Husker content, Husker features on a daily basis. Nobody puts out more than HuskerMax.com. And folks, if you haven't been to the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson yet, you are missing out. This is what they have new. A brand new chef has been hired at the Benson Brewery, and this means a brand new menu. Stop by today for delicious brews and delicious food. It's the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson. And Rob, I'm right there along with you with Nebraska not moving up. But here's the weird thing about Nebraska to me. 2 weeks ago, I'm ready to anoint them as the best team in the West Division. They're going to go to the Big Ten Championship. And then the Purdue game comes along. And I'm sitting there going, you look at the West now, and it's going to go through Iowa City. It's still going to go through Iowa City. Now, if Iowa loses at Minnesota this weekend, the story changes. But I don't think that's going to happen. So you got Wisconsin that has to go to Iowa City, and you got Nebraska.
I was going to ask, Wisconsin plays at Iowa City.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It has to go through Iowa City one way or another, right? I mean, Wisconsin goes to Iowa City, Nebraska goes to Iowa City.
In terms of how teams are playing, right now, I'm having trouble looking at Wisconsin and not seeing them win the West. Negative.
But if the Iowa team that shows up against Northwestern shows up, who knows?
Northwestern's horrible.
I get that, but Iowa played a pretty decent football game against Northwestern, maybe the most dominant that Iowa's played all year. And Northwestern did beat Wisconsin.
Horrible opponent.
Yeah, but Northwestern beat Wisconsin. Northwestern played Nebraska for a half. Hell, Northwestern couldn't play Iowa for a quarter.
And I think they gave up. I think Northwestern lost to Nebraska, and I think they cashed it in.
And that may be the case.
I hate saying that about a Pat Fitzgerald team, but I think they're in a situation where they don't have Kane Coulter, they don't have Venerick Mark, they've lost some guys on defense from last year. It's just not the same Northwestern team. Iowa handily beat a Northwestern team that Nebraska should have handily beat. They beat, it was a blowout, but it wasn't as bad as Iowa beat them. I'll admit Iowa looks good, but I don't know if you can look at that Iowa Northwestern game and automatically crown Iowa as the team to beat.
No, I don't think Iowa's the team to beat. I guess what I'm saying is, since Iowa gets both Wisconsin and Nebraska at home, the Big Ten West essentially has to go through Iowa City.
It does. It is an advantage to be able to play those two teams in Iowa City. And Iowa always gets better as the year goes along. I wish we played Iowa in the opening game of the conference season at this point.
Well, and that's what's funny is that no team wants to get better. And that's what I'm getting at. You know, Iowa plays like crap against Maryland, plays great against Northwestern. Nebraska plays great, then turns around and the Purdue game was just weird. They were so much better than Purdue, but then couldn't give them a knockout blow. And I'm going to go to some of your tweets. And I think I know where everything falls with you. Here's one of your tweets. Defense continues to glance with disapproval on the offense. And then the next one, and Beck, I still can't wrap my head around his inconsistency of styles. So if you continue to be inconsistent, you'll be consistently inconsistent, which is why we have this Jekyll and Hyde, and you don't know what team's going to show up.
I agree, and that's the one thing I find frustrating about Beck's offense. It just... There's still no rhyme or reason to it. I mean, you don't know if it's passing, is it running? I got no idea. That might be the only reason they're able to still score on people. I don't think opponents know what the heck to expect out of them. But that was an ugly game offensively. And when you look at what we thought going into it, I think everybody thought Nebraska was going to march up and down the field and score at will against Purdue's defense. And Purdue's offense, I'm looking at the fact that Purdue put up 31 against Michigan State, and I'm sitting here thinking, boy, I sure hope we can outshoot these guys because this is going to be an absolute point fest. And it wasn't. Nebraska's defense and special teams just annihilated Purdue's offense, and that was not what I thought was going to happen. I thought Nebraska's offense, I thought we were going to win a shootout. I thought this was still going to be a 2 or 3 touchdown win for Nebraska. But I thought it was going to be one of these 42-28, 49-35 kind of scores. That's what I thought. That's what I thought was coming. I didn't expect it to be the fact that Nebraska essentially got lucky late in the game to score a extra touchdown just to make the final point spread look good. But they got lucky to get that last touchdown and push it up to 35 points.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. So it's going to be what Husker team shows up, and of course they're going to need a good effort as they go to Camp Randall in Madison, Wisconsin next Saturday, and that's going to be a game we talk about next week on the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. Of course, Dr. Rob, it's always enlightening. It's always entertaining. And if you want to go to the Remington Trophy presentation in Lincoln on January 17th, 2015, make sure to get your tickets at remingtontrophy.com. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next week on the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.